Hey, welcome back, everyone. My name is Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. We are in Esther chapter 6, and this is lesson 5, day 8. Glad that you are with us. And if you are familiar with the study, then you know the very first thing we do is pray, and that's exactly what we're going to do right now. So if you're just glancing by on Facebook, pause, hang in there, join us. We're going to pause for a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into this Bible study, and you're welcome to stay with us. Those of you who are the regulars, you know the drill. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for our time together in your word. We love you. We love your word. And it brings us a great time of joy to be in it together right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get over to our lesson and grab your Bible, grab your faithful and fearless Bible study. And I'm going to switch us over to the screen so you can see the same thing I'm seeing, ta-da, which is lesson 5, day 8 of our Bible study. Hey, if you want to know where to get this and you're not sure, maybe you got behind or you're just now seeing that we have this Bible study, you go to jennifergrichmond.com, and not only will all the Bible studies be there from the beginning, which is Ruth, all the way through till Esther, but you'll also have online resource of this engaging study where you can actually listen along with me and go through your study time together. Some people, what they do is they just do their study along with me as they're watching the video, they're completing their study. Others complete their study and then watch the video to get my insights and my point of view. I kind of prefer doing it that way. Do your study first and then listen in on what I have to say and maybe get a different perspective as you go through. Either way, glad that you're with me and feel free to join in anytime. All right. Beginning right now with writing and memorizing the word. We're going to write it in this box here. We're going to read it from the English Standard Version, Psalm 42, verses 9 and 10. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Right? Frustrated and over it and hearing all the taunts of the negative people around him, accusing him of not even really having a God that he can. He's just, you know, why are you even doing that? And this is going to be a great lesson for us. I'll be actually preaching on this topic in the next few weeks. Join me at church here. We've got a great team of pastors who takes the teaching from the pulpit, primarily Pastor Joe and Pastor Jay. And then every now and then I get a chance to preach from the pulpit as well as our worship pastor, Jess. So join us. I'll be speaking exactly to this point. Where is your God? Why is everything going bad? And you don't even, clearly it points to not having a God, or if you do have a God, he's not that great. So I'll be talking about this. It'll be on May 19th, the third Sunday of May. So join me. I'd like you to come and hear my thoughts on that. I think you'll be encouraged and surprised maybe even as well. All right. Heading back over to our lesson, take a minute to write that down in the box there. And then let's go ahead over to Esther chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. It goes like this. Then Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning and with his head covered. And Haman told his wife, Zeresh, and all his friends everything that had happened to him. Then his wise men and his wife, Zeresh, said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him. While they were yet talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried to bring Haman to the feast that Esther had prepared. So far, no outing of Haman for his plan, just the behind-the-scenes rolling of this drama. We'll get to the rest of that tomorrow. All right. And then our passage for meditation is again from Psalm 27, just because it's a great psalm for us to read and remind again of waiting on God. So listen to God's word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious and to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Someone listening to my voice needs to hear this today. Wait. Take courage. God is good. He's got your back. You stay faithful. You walk the righteous walk. Don't walk like the wicked. Keep your eyes on God. And yet will you praise him? Beautiful, powerful, great reminder today. All right. What has Mordecai just returned from doing? What has Mordecai just returned from doing? He has been paraded through town. He has been paraded through town on the king's horse with the king's robe and the crown. And Haman has been the one announcing before him of all of these, this great quote, you know, this is what the king will do for him who he delights to, for him who he delights to honor. Compare this moment with the last time that Mordecai, sorry, I'm getting fidgety down here, but my chair is like all bunched up against the carpeting and I'm not settled in like I want to be. All right. Compare this moment with the last time Mordecai was in the city. Esther 4, 1 through 2. Let's take a look at that. Internet slow today. All right. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out in the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. What had he done before? Now he's in robes. Then he was in sackcloth. Now someone else is crying out his praises. Then he was wailing in anguish and crying for anguish for his people and for himself. Now, whose cry is probably loud, if not bitter? Whose cry is the one that is loud, if not bitter? Of course, Haman's. Haman's cry is loud and surely bitter because he has to sing the praises of his manufactured enemy, not even a true enemy, his manufactured enemy. And Haman has to sing his praises, basically. All right. So consider the satisfied return of Mordecai and the sad return of Haman to their respective places. Mordecai returns to the king's gate. It says, back to the king's gate he goes. Everything's good. Haman returns to his home. And what other details does the narrator include about Haman's return? Haman's return is in mourning, and his head is covered. We have Mordecai, who was originally, you know, in sackcloth and ashes and mourning, covered. Now we have Haman, sackcloth, ashes, and covered. How is this another of the many reversals? You could draw a picture of this, really. You can draw Mordecai going from mourning to joy and being praised, the king's gate, and Haman going from pride and standing forth before everybody how great he is to mourning and wait for more. Of course, it's going to be happening after this. All right, let's contrast the reversal from Esther 5, verse 14 to Esther 6, 13. And I did not link this, so let me go ahead and copy and paste that into Esther and get that linked up. I'm just going to do it right here like that. I got to get rid of the word and though. Esther, and see if this will do it for me. If 5:14. Yeah. Yeah. Good. All right. Here we go. Then his wife Zeresh and his friend said to him, let a gallows 50 cubits high be made. In the morning, tell the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then joyfully go to the king with the feast. And this idea pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. And now we'll listen to this. And Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him. Then his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but surely will fall before him. We have a lifting up in pride and anger and in jealousy over here of Haman trying to lift himself up. And now we have really, he's going to be lifted up. He's going to lift up on a gallows though. He's actually going to fall. So fascinating reversal there. All right. God can warn anyone through any means. Never forget that. He used a donkey. He's used handwriting on a wall. And here in Esther, a scheming wife. What was Zeresh's prophetic warning? Again, what does it say here? Before whom you've begun to fall. If Mordecai is the one getting this all happened to him, you will not overcome him, but you will surely fall. The principle for warning is based on scripture and it's timeless. Read Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Summarize God's word to Abraham. Let's go ahead and do that. Get it called up here on the screen so you can see it. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Those of you who have been in Bible study with me before, this should be a familiar passage to you by now. I would like you to have it memorized or be very, 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 very familiar with it. Genesis chapter 1 through 11, unique chunk of scripture. And then Genesis 12 begins this covenant relationship. Listen to what the Lord says to Abraham. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you or curses you, literally, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. What aspect of this is coming true for Haman in this moment here? The principle of her warning is based on a scripture and it's timeless. Zeresh says, you are not going to defeat this. He's a Jew. And he says, what do you say? If Mordecai is of the Jewish people, and he is, you will not overcome him. You will surely fall. You have cursed a Jew. You will be cursed. So the principle of this warning, scripture, bless those who bless you. Anyone who blesses the Jews will be blessed. Anyone who curses them will be cursed. And I have a question for you that goes beyond this right now today, just for you listening into my voice. Does that blessing still remain true today? What about you right now? Are you blessing God's people? Are you blessing the Jews? Are you blessing his children? Right? Or are you cursing them? Not only just the Jews ethnically, but God's children, God's family. Those who are grafted in are children of Abraham. That's me, a follower of Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. Don't curse God's people. Bless God's people. Bless God's people, the Jews, ethnic descendants from Abraham, and bless God's people, the adopted family, everybody who acknowledges Jesus Christ is a child now of Abraham. All right, let's take a look at Jeremiah 20, 10 through 12. How is Jeremiah's experience like? Get this, sorry, multitasking, Jeremiah, there we go. How is Jeremiah's experience like Mordecai's? Let's listen and see what we have here. For I hear many whispering, terrors on every side. Denounce him, let's denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who test the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. So awesome. I love this final sentence there. For to you I have committed my cause. And so often we want our cause to be our cause, but we forget that it's about God and you know, moving forward his cause in life. Think about that as you go back to work tomorrow. Think about that as you're engaging with people in your life tomorrow. Whose cause are you pursuing? And bring it in check. Maybe you need to fast and pray about it too. Bring it in check. Are you committing to your cause or are you committing to God's cause? He says, let me see your vengeance on them. This is an indignation. This is righteous anger. That's what indignation means, righteous anger. Let me see your vengeance upon them. God, make this right. For to you I have committed my cause. My cause is your cause. Mi casa, su casa. My casa, your casa. All right. You can quote me on that. All right. What do Haman's wise men and his wife appear to realize about the Jewish people? There's no overcoming them. He says right there, you are about to fall. He's of the Jewish people. You will not overcome him, but you will surely fall before him. You will surely fall before him. They realize that these are blessed, blessed, blessed people. All right. Let me close with this reflecting thought. How many times is the name of God mentioned in Esther? Zero. How many times is prayer mentioned? Zero. What about the temple? God's temple, God's holy temple. Zero. Again, zero. How many times has God's will been stopped? Ah, yes. Once again, zero times. No matter who is on the throne, no matter who is scheming, no matter the time we have to wait or the length of our efforts to do the right thing or the efforts of those to do evil, God will have his way. Consider that truth today. Do you feel God is silent? Does he seem to be far off? Like the pagan god Baal, who Elijah mocked as being off on the toilet, does God feel like he's got a do not disturb sign out on his royal doorknob? Rest assured, and actually do just that, rest. And while you rest, be assured that God is on the throne, getting the job done for your best and for his glory today. Amen? Amen. All right. Good lesson, huh? I like this one. This made me happy. This reminds me of just trusting in God and making sure that my plans aren't just mine, but my plans are really God's plans. I can put that in that order. God's plans and then my plans. And my plans should be his plans. Mi casa, su casa, it says in Spanish, right? My house, your house. Same thing with this. Mi casa, su casa. All right. Love you. Bless you. Thank you for being here with me. As always, know that you are loved and prayed for, and I look forward to being back here with you again in our next lesson. Bye-bye for now.